Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists, ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 517.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I am very happy to bring you a conversation with Dr. Lanail R. Plummer. Dr. Lanail R. Plummer is a visionary mental health expert, educator, speaker, and author dedicated to redefining how minorities are seen, supported, and healed in clinical spaces. Her book, The Essential Guide to Counseling Black Women, is her first of three, serving as both a professional resource for educators and mental health providers and an accessible guide for Black women looking to heal. For Dr. Plummer, the book is more than a theory, but it's a response to a gap she witnessed her entire career, the need for healthcare, especially mental health providers, to affirm and reflect the real lived experiences of Black women. Dr. Lanail Plummer is a wife, mother of two adult children, a U.S. military veteran, a proud Howard University graduate, and a lifelong member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Inc. Dr. Plummer brings two decades of clinical expertise and lived experience to inform her work. And we had a lovely conversation about her book and how it can serve as a resource to support clinicians who are working with Black women, and for Black women who are trying to find the connection that they're looking for in therapy. So let's dive right into my conversation with Dr. Lanail R. Plummer. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm here with Dr. Lanail Plummer, the author of The Essential Guide for Counseling Black Women. Lanail, thank you so much for being my guest today on Therapy Chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Laura. Super excited to be here. Super excited to spend time with you today.
I am super excited too, and I'm so glad you're here. So before we start talking about your work and your book, can you just start off by telling our listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I'm Dr. Lanail R. Plummer. I am the CEO of Onyx Therapy Group, which is an international mental health company. We're headquartered in DC, but we have offices in Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, and Johannesburg, South Africa. In addition to that, I'm the department chair of counseling at Trinity Washington University here in Washington, DC. And I absolutely love my work as chair, as a professor, spending time with my students. And I am clearly a new author for The Essential Guide for Counseling Black Women. And if you believe it or not, I am actually working on my second book already. In addition to that, I am an empty nester, Laura. Like, I have two college kids. Alyssa is graduating in May And my son, Bradshaw Jr., we call him Deuce. He's graduating in a few years. He's a freshman. So I'm adjusting to like being an empty nester. So it's all these wonderful things in my life. So I told you a little bit about my work and a little bit about my personal life. I'm also a veteran of the United States Army. So I served our country for 8 years. I'm really proud about the work that I was able to do there. Mm. And I'm just a person who loves life. Like, I've been blessed with a life of that is full of purpose, full of intention, full of spirituality. And I'm at a stage in my life where things feel really soft and easy, which feels good after some of the challenges that I had in the earlier part of my life. So feeling really great and amazing with life right now. And excited to talk to you about this new book, The Essential Guide for Counseling Black Women.
Beautiful. Well, I'm so glad that you're here. And what really excites me about your book in particular is that it's not just about therapy with Black folks. It's not just about therapy with women. It's specifically for therapy supporting Black women. And I guess the first question is, why did you decide to write this?
Yeah, Laura. So, you know, like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I have intersecting work identities. I recently learned this term. I'm a multi-hyphenate mental health provider, right? Professional. So on one hand, I'm doing direct services with Black women, and some of them are talking to me about experiences that they've had and where they have felt like they didn't really have a safe place to process their emotions, even though they were in therapy. And so when I would dive deeper with them and I would say, hey, you know, why didn't therapy feel safe? And oftentimes they were saying they would have to put themselves in a position where they were educating their therapist on what it meant to be Black, what it means to be a woman, what it means to have the intersection of being a Black woman, what those nuances are. And they would spend so much time educating their clinician that they weren't able to just be a client. And that's completely unfair, right? Like, as you and I are practitioners, we know that clients come in to lay down their burdens. And if they have to educate, then that's more work for them. They don't get to just relax in that space and process. So one, I wrote the book as a dedication to Black women. Like, here, let me find solutions to create spaces for you so that you are comfortable in therapy. But what that means is that I also needed to write it for clinicians. Of course, there's nuances with Black women working with Black women, and there's less education that maybe needs to be there, even though we're not a monolithic group. But for my non-Black women clinicians, there's lots of opportunities for growth and learning, particularly because our multicultural courses that we take at the graduate level don't go into details around the nuances of how to treat a Black woman, why certain topics mean something more to her than others. And because we don't learn that in graduate school, we skip over key points that could actually be breakthroughs and aha moments for these Black women. So the book is also written for my clinicians, particularly my non-Black women clinicians, so that they understand how to treat Black women and they understand the nuances. They have the language. They understand the backstory. They understand why certain things are important, and they take detail into that care. And this is all wrapping around and important because Black women are increasing in their economic status, which means that they have more discretionary funds to be able to participate in therapy. And so they are actively trying to heal and to grow and to process, and they have the funds to be able to support that. And they need to be able to go to places that are supporting them. There's only 4% of all clinicians are Black women, which means that when a Black woman goes to therapy, she's likely not going to be paired with a Black woman. So whoever she's paired with needs to be able to hold space for her. And this book is a learning opportunity and tool. The book is full with so much information, Laura, to make it easy for a clinician. It has therapist tips. It has catalyst questions. So when I present an idea, I also give the questions that a clinician can ask their Black woman client, so you don't have to feel like you're starting from ground zero. I give journal prompts, so you already have homework that you give to the client about a topic. I use client insights so that you can see how I have worked with my Black women clients on certain topics. So all of this is very rich. And you know what else is special about it, Laura? I have a therapeutic guide at the end of each chapter where I say which therapy can be used, right? CBT doesn't need to be used for every topic. We could use REBT. We could use positive psychology. You know, we could use more behavioral techniques. So it is truly a guidebook for a non-Black woman clinician to pick it up and say, okay, I'm working with this new Black woman. Let me talk about the dual mask that she might have when it comes to stereotypes. Here are a couple of questions I can ask her. Here are some tips that I can use. Here's the therapeutic approach that I could have. And in all of that, I can also do my own therapist introspection to determine where my biases and countertransference are that may have been a limitation of me working with this Black woman client. So it's healing for all of us. It's educational and healing for all of us. I know that was a long answer, right, Laura?
A really in-depth response, and I super appreciate that. I can tell you're a professor, too, in the way that you... Personally, I find it, I'm not a professor, I find it really difficult to, I know a lot, but like to break it down the way that you have is really a skill and a gift. And I can see that in this book too, is the way that you've broken down the material. It's just like very organized. It's very manageable to understand. And it's interesting that you pointed out the therapeutic guide, and I opened up to a random page and it seems like, you know, you were just talking about stereotypes, and I turned to a page where a heading says stereotypes and social inclusion. But it mentions in the therapeutic guide, person-centered therapy example, and then it says sample therapeutic SMART goal technique or intervention. I mean, this is like really a counseling handbook. You don't normally get this kind of clarity in what to do in a book about working with any population. So that's great.
I was specific in that way, Laura, you know, because when I was writing the book at first, I was like, this is great information and it's robust and I know it's going to help. And I also know my students and I know clinicians that I've worked with across, you know, this year is also my 20-year anniversary as a therapist. And so
congrats.
The team I've worked with, thank you, over the last two decades, and that everybody's heart, clinicians, mental health providers, their hearts are pure, but then they don't know the next step. And so if we're going to do a treatment plan, because we're working with a Black woman, if we're going to do a treatment plan, then we need to also have those treatment goals. So let me just give you a couple goals to start with. You know what I mean? Let me just give you a couple interventions to start with. A person could essentially read this book and make a whole treatment plan for their client by just using the therapeutic guide. But that's up to the clinician if they want to do that. But I didn't want there to be any gaps. You know, if I'm going to work with this Black woman and I'm going to treat her with care and I'm going to treat her like she's precious because she's both strong and fragile, like a piece of crystal. If I'm going to treat her like this, then let me, Dr. Plummer, not leave any gaps from start to finish. In the book, I even have intake, right? Like what kind of questions you need to ask at intake specifically for Black women, and closing it all the way out through the creation of a treatment plan. And it's only like 200 and something pages, but it's rich.
Yeah.
And I love it. You know, I read it. I'm still reading it myself. I've read it several times as the author, but I'm reading it as a clinician now and as a Black woman and truly enjoying it. And of course, many of my friends and folks who have pre-copies, the books as they came out early, are giving feedback on it too about just how relatable it is. And how digestible it is and how easy it is to now start putting it into practice. And that's what I wanted this to be. That was the goal.
You've done amazing. I'm so impressed. As someone who's also trying to write a book, not on this topic, but it's like, it's so hard to synthesize everything into really relatable and digestible. But I don't want to focus too much on that. I want to go back to what you said about, you know, you kind of said it briefly, but I really want people to hear this because I don't want any listener who's a white therapist to say, oh, I'll just get this book and then I'll just give, you know, I'll use this treatment plan. Like I'm sure it's a little more important to really also like do our work and understand, you know, an important point that you said, like, and I said, you said it in passing, you just sort of, among all the things you said, we are not a monolithic group. And I think I would really like to have you expand, if you will, on, you know, more about that.
So yeah, Black women aren't a monolithic group, right? while we have shared and collective experiences, there's different nuances in who we are based off of, you know, how, what our family structures were and our family composition, based off of which region in the United States we grew up in, based off of our blended families, based off of our socioeconomic status and our education experiences and education levels as well. And in our multicultural courses that we took in graduate school, they try to make all Black women seem as if they're monolithic, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Black women in the United States, descendants of those who were once enslaved, and Black women are those descendants of those who once had to fight for civil rights. And while we weren't included in the fight for women's liberation, we did it on our side. And so it's as if we are all one group, and we're not. And so the book is rich because it talks about the different, again, nuances between who a Black woman is. Like, many of us are raised in communities where collective empowerment and community engagement is a priority, and that's connected to our African heritage and ancestry. But we are also American, which is very individualistic, and this old concept of raising yourself by your bootstraps. Those two nuances are in contrast with each other, right? How do you be community and raise yourself up by your bootstraps? And so some Black women will find themselves teetering on one of the two sides. And I talk about it in the workplace, especially when it's a matter of like, am I the talented 10th and I open the door for people behind me? Or am I experiencing a crabs in a barrel kind of mentality where I need to get out and I don't have to worry about anybody else that is coming behind me? These are things that a Black woman needs to explore in therapy, because they're likely being manifested in her behaviors and also reflected in the ways that people are engaging with her. But if she's not exploring it herself, then it's going to seem out of reach for understanding. And with all of that being said, Laura, I mentioned that many of our clinicians that may be working with Black women clients may not be Black women themselves, and they may have their own biases and stereotypes around what they would be doing if they were in that position. And that's where we have the countertransference and we have the projection. And so it's important, and as I added to the book, it's important that our non-Black therapists are also doing therapeutic introspection, so that they are understanding their biases, they're understanding their countertransference, they're understanding any stereotypes that they have about Black women. And I've been a professor for 15 years. And so for a person to tell me, I don't have biases, I will call them a liar. You absolutely do. We have messages from media. You grew up with family messages. You have the establishment of core beliefs. You know, you have your own attachment style. You watch TV, you read books, you have thoughts around who Black women are. And so when you become the therapist in that space, you have to be honest with yourself in terms of how you see Black women, so that you can treat them with care and treat them as they're precious, and not treat them through your lens of bias and stereotypes. And sometimes those biases and stereotypes are not necessarily negative. Sometimes it's positioned as positive, like Black women are strong, they can do everything, or Black women are superwomen and they can handle all that. Yes, quite possibly. And they also are fragile and they need to take that cape off. And sometimes they need to shed that armor and just be vulnerable and exposed. But if you only see them as strong, then you don't give them the opportunity to be fragile, right? And so all of these things have to be processed when working with Black women.
Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from clients' secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing. I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. You know, what? A couple things that are coming up for me while we're talking are, I guess, on one hand, I'm a private practice owner, and you mentioned people having, more Black women having access to the means to go to therapy and really do this deep work, healing themselves and breaking, you know, generational patterns went for those who want that. And I think about like a private practice therapy setting versus a community mental health practice setting where therapists, I guess the difference being, you know, in general, working with people who either have private insurance or the means to pay out of pocket versus working with people who are mainly working with Medicaid, you know, using Medicaid for their services, and the difference in resources among the group that you're working with. And I feel like from my experience in community mental health, which I hope may have changed, but there can be, you know, the difference in perception between the client and the therapist, the difference in the perception of each other, and the difference in the therapist's perception of the client, when there's more of a economic difference between them, or more of a class difference between them, or both. That, do you think? I mean, it seems obvious to me that this book could be really beneficial for people working in community mental health who don't always have time to think about that, although everyone needs to be thinking about it. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think because Black women are not monolithic, the book is going to be helpful for anybody that's working with any Black woman. It despite her social economic status, despite her class, despite her education, because the book is written in some parts in generalization and in other parts in specification. And I specifically talk about that, which is the specification piece. So say, for instance, chapter 2, which is creating the legacy through work, a person who maybe I talk about the difference between being of service and being a servant, and what that means for Black women who are descendants of people who were brought to the country to serve and who had to be servants. Our relationship with work is different. And so my relationship with work as a CEO and a professor may be different than a relationship with one of my Black women sisters work who may be working in fast food. And still yet, our titles are different and our work environments are different, but how we relate to the work may have some similarities because of messages that have been passed down from generation to generation, and not just passed down from generation to generation within the Black community and culture, but also from non-Black people in particular, right? I'll give you an example. I am 45 years old and I have two children that are in college already. And I am also a CEO of a company that I've had for 13 years. There'll be times where I'll be talking to somebody, let's say a non-Black person, and they are like extremely surprised that I am a CEO and that I have kids in college. And they start to make assumptions around how old I was when I had the children, and if these were accidental pregnancies, like I was being irresponsible, and, you know, if my company is actually successful or not. Like, there's lots of stereotypes that come along with that. And that affects the relationship that I have with work in terms of, am I trying to prove something to somebody? Do I have to justify something to somebody? Or do I get to just lean into the work and enjoy it? You know, that same Black woman that may be working in fast food will have a relationship with work where people are wondering why she made the decisions to work where she is. and if she had good decisions or if she didn't have good decisions. Like, but there's always a tinge of judgment and bias that is in there versus when white people are talking to white people about work, it's not the same kind of thing. And so these are some of the biases and introspections that we have to explore. So many times I'm in the airport and I'm sitting in, say, like a lounge, and I've had people come up to me and say, literally, Laura, come up to me and say, and how did you get in here? And I'm like, and what? Like, what do you mean? How did I get in here? You know, like, I'm going on a flight. Like, this is the lounge that go that's connected to my flight, you know. But that is also my relationship with work, because I work, and then I have, and when I am working at the airport, I need a space where I can focus and not have a lot of distractions. And so there's all these things that come along with it. So despite where a clinician is working and which and who their Black woman is within social economic stratas and within education hierarchies, despite where they're working, that Black woman has a unique relationship with work that is probably quite different than that therapist's relationship with work, especially if that therapist's relationship is, I am here to help and to save, and that Black woman is thinking, I am here to survive, or I am here to open doors, or I am here to create. Those, the language around the work is different. And that, and I put a whole chapter around working around Black women and work, because many clinicians go over that. They think that is, that topic is only for career counselors. No, that topic is for all counselors, because a woman's, a Black woman's relationship with her job is part of her identity in how the decisions that she makes. And if you notice, one last thing about that, Laura, if you notice that as the book is written, all the clinical stuff is written towards the end of the chapter, or the end of the book. You know, working with DSM is at the end of the book. Working with emotions is at the end of the book. Working with trauma is at the end of the book, because there's so many more topics that we need to be thinking about before we really explore the differences around mental health disorders in Black women. So many different experiences that Black women have, whether it's newfound freedom or their friendships or their relationship with work or their relationships with themselves or breaking cycles. All of those things affect a Black woman's mental health before you can even get into major depressive disorder or social anxiety disorder or, you know, acute stress disorder.
Thank you. That's so, that makes so much sense about sort of like building the foundation of understanding about someone's life before you're looking at their relationship to their mental health. I wanted to ask you about trauma. So I'm like, oh, slow down, Laura. And what you said about work, you know, I would not have understood that that way. So thank you for that really nuanced answer.
You're welcome, Laura. And I brought that up because I teach career counseling at the university. And I, prior to being at Trinity, I was at Hopkins. And prior to Hopkins, I was at Maryland, the whole thing, right? Anyhow, some of my students have said in the past, well, Dr. Plummer, you know, I'm taking career counseling because it's part of my program, a sequence, but I don't really want to be a career counselor. And I'm like, well, you don't have to be a career counselor, but your client is going to bring up something about work, and you need to understand how they came to that being. You know, did they choose work out of survival? Did they choose work from values? Did they really choose a career that they wanted, or did they choose a career that they had access to, right? Like, if they've never had the opportunity to really go to a library or to go to a career fair, they may think that these are the only options they have for a career. People are making careers out of thin air. You know, 10 years ago, there was no such thing as a career as a social media influencer. Now it's a whole thing that can earn six figures, seven figures in a year. So we need to understand that just because you don't believe that you are a career counselor, and I'm speaking to all the therapists and clinicians that are listening, you may have, just because you didn't aim to be a career counselor, you have to talk about careers with your Black women clients because it is part of her identity. And just because you may not have a specialization in attachment, you have to talk to your clients about their friendships, because a Black woman's relationship with her friends is different than a non-Black woman's relationship with her friends, connected to the historical the historical experiences around enslaved people being removed from their biological families. So their fictive relationships matter more in some situations than their biological family does. And you have to explore that with the client. Why does a rift in her best friend relationship hurt her more than a rift in her relationship with her sister? Explore it with her, because then she gets to explore it amongst her, within herself as well, and continue to evolve and develop into the woman that she is and that she continues to want to be.
This book is really, really rich with deep, insightful information. I'm seeing as you speak about it, I'm seeing just how much. So confessing, I haven't read it all yet. I've looked over it. But
you'll read all of it. And then when you do, just text me and we could talk about it.
Maybe I'll have you back if you want to come and talk about it more.
Absolutely. Or invite me to your group practice. I've been asking practice owners to buy the copies of the book and do a book club with the practice, with the folks in the practice, right? Like, that's one of the things Onyx is doing. All of my clinicians have a copy of the book, and each month we read a chapter and we discuss it, and we'll go deeper and dive deeper into the work. And wouldn't it be beautiful if all practices were doing book clubs with the clinicians that are with them? You know, whether it's two clinicians on staff, or whether it's, you know, 500 clinicians that are on staff, like, let's break out and do some book clubs. Let's process, let's explore, because a lot of times we leave graduate school and we stop studying, you know, we stop reading the literature, we stop, you know, paying attention to the things. Podcasts like these are extremely helpful because it jogs memory, it jogs thought, and it creates learning opportunities. But we forget to read content, and then put that content into practice with our clients. And so wouldn't it be beautiful if we had like a nationwide book club for clinicians to read? I would propose this Central Guide for Counseling Black Women, but that doesn't have to be the only book, because there's so many wonderful clinical books that are out right now.
Yes, that's such a good point. And to how, sure, listening to a podcast is great. You can have listen to a really in-depth 5 minutes about one thing, but that's nothing compared to a book like this, which is also, when I opened it, I was like, ooh, this is like definitely, you know, it's a slim book, but it's like a textbook, but not in a boring way.
Yeah.
Textbook you want to read.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So much good stuff in here.
So, Laura, I know you wanted to talk about trauma for a little bit, and we only have a few minutes, but I wanted to tap onto that, because that's in part two of the book. And I talk about microaggressions in the earlier part of the book in workplace, but I also talk about it in terms of addressing trauma. And I talk in that trauma section there, I'm talking about, you know, how we're treating trauma and direct aggression and survival aggression. I'm talking about, you know, the different trauma disorders, because we often focus on PTSD, but we don't spend enough time focusing on acute stress disorder. But there's quite a few tips in this book, including several different assessment tools that clinicians should be using when working with trauma. And just a visual for those who are watching, like, there's lots of different assessments, right? Like, and this is important because, and it goes on to the next page, but this is important because for Black women, they're oftentimes misdiagnosed. Part of that occurs because the studies, the DSM, the disorders that are listed in the DSM are based off of research, and that research didn't include Black women. And so the symptoms that are listed in there don't necessarily align with Black women, okay? So they are misdiagnosed for that. Also, we don't spend enough time thinking about trauma as it pertains to Black women, because we often think about trauma in the more overt ways, like physical abuse or sexual abuse or neglect. And we don't consider microaggressions as traumatic. We don't consider, you know, certain relationship breakups as traumatic. We don't consider how some of our own decisions created trauma in our lives. And so oftentimes I find that Black women, their true disorder is one of the trauma disorders. It's not one of the traditional mood disorders like generalized anxiety disorder or MDD, major depressive disorder. And so I have a whole section just for trauma because I want clinicians to start assessing Black women through a traumatic lens as opposed to through a pure depression or anxiety lens. And if we do that, then we're actually treating the root as opposed to the leaf. If you diagnose a woman with depression and she actually has trauma, you're only helping the leaf. You're not helping the root. And so that root is going to come out with another branch with different leaves that's going to look like another disorder. We see Black women being diagnosed with major depressive disorder and general anxiety disorder, and the two should not be diagnosed together, not the way the DSM is written. And so what actually is likely to happen is that it's a trauma disorder as the root, and you treated one part of the depression, and now it's showing up as anxiety, and then it's going to show up as a family disorder, and then it's going to show up as a relational attachment disorder, when in actuality, it's the trauma that needs to be treated. And some non-Black people have a hard time addressing trauma because a lot of times the trauma is based off of systems that were created by non-Black people. So non-Black people are experiencing trauma because of what the ancestors and the precedents of the white folks created, and that causes white guilt, and they don't want to address that. And so instead they make it seem like it's the Black woman and depression as opposed to the system that has caused the trauma.
I am so glad you mentioned that. Thank you. Thank you.
Which is why we got to address our biases and our introspection, because we don't, white people don't need to walk around with guilt if they're not actually doing anything, but they need to acknowledge that the systems of which their forefathers created is still having an impact of trauma on Black women today.
Yes, exactly. And I will say, as a white person, people, this isn't my listeners' first time hearing me say that white people, we need to be exploring our relationship to whiteness and deconstructing the colonized beliefs that we don't know are colonized beliefs and think are just the way the world is. And so when we start noticing something that makes us realize that, oh my God, my ancestors actively were part of that, or the group that I am part of, even if I don't know that my exact ancestors were doing harm, that the group that I'm part of has done harm. And when I think of that, I feel shame and I just shut down. So when we notice ourselves wanting to tiptoe around or avoid something, it's an opportunity to go deeper, get more curious about that, and realize that whatever we're trying to avoid is something that we need to be addressing, but we need to be not centering ourselves in the moment too. So it's like we have to do our work. It's continuous, because every time something gets triggered, we have to realize, okay, there's another thing I have to, it's my responsibility to explore this and not let this interfere with my relationship with my client, repair when needed, repair the ruptures from the microaggressions that I didn't know I was doing until I figured it out.
Absolutely. That's right. That's right. That's right.
And I'm with you about the misdiagnosis extremely. I talk about this a lot, and I'll say that bipolar disorder too is often, especially for women with less resources, they're often diagnosed as having bipolar disorder when they most likely have, they're having a trauma reaction that's causing those mood swings. But I know we're out of time for today, and I do hope that we could revisit this, you know, sometime in the future, maybe when you're, you know, about this book or your next book. I'm open, but
let's do it, Laura. Let's make it happen. Absolutely.
For today, I just really want to thank you for taking the time with me and our audience here on Therapy Chat to talk about this valuable, amazing book and wonderful resource for therapists and for Black women who are in counseling.
Yes. Thank you, Laura. Thank you. Absolutely. Yes. It's my gift to the world. And
let us know where everyone can find you online.
Absolutely. So I laugh, I giggle a little bit when I say it, but I have done so much work in media that you could simply put my name into one of your search engines and my articles will come up. So those are articles in like Forbes and Times, Essence, Ebony, Cosmo, Glamour, Prevention. Like I just love, thank you. I love educating around mental health. And so I go to where our people are, right? Like if it's about young women, then I'm trying to go to Cosmo, right? And if it's about, you know, older folks, I'm trying to go to Times. If it's about money, I'm trying to get into Forbes, you know? So I could be found in all places. And on socials, you could put in my name, Dr. Linnell Plummer. That'll pop up for Facebook and for LinkedIn. On Instagram, it's Mahogany Sunshine. And the company is Onyx Therapy Group. That's my heart and my joy. And we are everywhere on socials as Onyx Therapy Group, O-N-Y-X. And that's Facebook, Instagram, social, LinkedIn, YouTube. And then, like I mentioned, our podcasts are under the brand of Onyx Therapy Group as well. The book is called The Essential Guide for Counseling Black Women. And it officially, of course, comes out January 27th. And it can be found on Amazon, on Norton, at Barnes & Noble, at Walmart, and all your independent bookstores as well.
Beautiful. And also, I'll mention that Norton, if you buy it through Norton, they have a discount code associated with this podcast. It's Reagan20, R-E-A-G-A-N-20. So you'll get 20% off if you buy it through Norton and don't support those billionaire companies. And thanks again. It was lovely to be with you. I'm so appreciative of that we have connected and that for what you're doing in the world. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to all of you all that are listening. If you have any questions, reach out to me directly. I always answer emails. So if you read the book and you're processing or you have questions or you even want me to come into your practice and do a group talk with you all, let me know. I'm around. All right.
Great.
Thank you, Laura. You. See you next time.
Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR practice management and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts, 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.